You may be seated. We'll turn again to that passage of Scripture that we read earlier, please, to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 7. And the verse of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this meeting tonight is the verse number 25 of Hebrews chapter number 7. Let me just read that verse with you again. It says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." I'm sure in your home you have many books, maybe books that are very precious to you, maybe books that have been given to you by a friend or a family member, and books perhaps that you treasure. And it's certainly good to read other good books and other literature. But you know, the most important book of all for you and I to read is the Bible, the Word of God. Yes, the Bible is special because it is God's Word. God Himself is the author of the Scriptures. And I would encourage you all to read the Bible, read the Scriptures in your home day by day. The Bible tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. How important it is that we treasure our Bibles, that we read the Scriptures. Yes, the Bible is special because of what it teaches, because of what we find in its pages from Genesis to Revelation. David the psalmist could speak of God's word and he could say the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. He valued, he appreciated the word of God. And we can say tonight that the Bible is special because it is God's word. And it tells us all that you and I need to know about God. It tells us all that you and I need to know about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us all that you and I need to know about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. The Bible, yes, is a history book. It tells us how this world came into being, how God created this world in 6 literal days out of nothing at the dawn of time. It tells us about the creation of man from the very dust of the ground, that man did not evolve. God is the creator of the world and the creator of mankind. It tells us also about the fall of man into sin in the Garden of Eden, how our first parents, Adam and Eve, listened to the tempter, the devil himself, and fell into sin. It tells us also how God chose a particular nation, the nation of Israel, from the loins of Abraham, from among the nations of the world, and set His seal, His blessing upon them. It tells us also about God's commandments, the 10 commandments summed up in God's moral law that is for every society right to the end of time, to the very end of the world itself. And the Bible is also special because it shows us how man, whoever he is, whoever she is, wherever they are to be found in this world, it shows us how man can be saved from his sin, how man can be made right with God, how man can be brought into our relationship with God and come to know God as his own and heavenly Father. And Nehemiah tells us how man not only can be saved from his sin and know God, but how man can be absolutely sure and certain of heaven after this world, after this scene of time. My Paul reminded Timothy of that very fact in his own life. He said these words to Timothy. He says, "Timothy, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." What a blessing Timothy had as a child to hear the word of God and to be taught the word of God. Sunday school teachers, children's workers, parents, what a blessing it is to teach our children the word of God. My God has promised to bless his word, and my, he said that his word will not return unto him void. And it was the case with Timothy. He heard the word of God. and through what he heard in the Word of God, and through God blessing the Word of God to his soul, he was made wise unto salvation. His sins were forgiven. He was brought into a right relationship with God. And he was made sure and certain about heaven. And friends, tonight in this gospel meeting, it is this same so great salvation that is spoken about in our text here this evening in Hebrews chapter 7 and the verse number 25. Where it says there, wherefore he, that's the Lord Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In this chapter here before us, the apostle is setting forth to the Hebrew believers the excellency of Christ as the great high priest of his people. And by using the example of Melchizedek from the Old Testament, he tells us here how Christ is a more excellent priest than all the priests of Aaron. And the excellency of Christ is set forth in the fact here that Christ himself was sinless. He was perfect. He was impeccable. He was without sin. Look at verse 26 of the chapter. Notice what it says there about Christ. It says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Christ has no blemish. He is the altogether lovely one who did no sin, who knew no sin. By his excellency as our high priest is also seen in the fact that God confirmed him with an oath, with a promise. Look at verse 20 of the chapter. It says there, inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. He was confirmed by God's oath. And then his excellency is also seen in the fact that he is a priest who never changes. The priests of the Old Testament, they change, but not so with Christ. He is an unchangeable high priest. Look at verse number 24 of the chapter. Notice what it says. It says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And why it is in the midst of this passage of Scripture, by the apostle extols and highlights the virtues of Christ as the great high priest of his people, that we find these wonderful words about salvation, about how the way that man can be saved from the awful ruin of his sin and experience God's salvation in his heart and life and soul. And it says of this very same priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in verse 25, our text, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Tonight, as we would look at these words before us in this verse, there are three things I want just to set before you about God's so great salvation. The first thing I want you to notice here is the people whom the Lord saves from sin. Look at what it says in our verse. It says of Christ, wherefore he is able to save them that come unto God by him. And here the apostle is speaking, yes, about the Lord Jesus. And we see here that the people who will be saved, the people who are saved from their sin, are all those who come unto God through Christ. Those who approach unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now we might well ask the question tonight, what does it mean for a person to come unto God through Christ? Well, sometimes maybe in the place of employment or industry, you sometimes hear of disputes between the owner of the business and the management and those who are the workers, the employees. And that dispute has to be settled by a mediator. A mediator is brought in to mediate between the two parties and to bring the two sides together, as it were, to one. Well, friends, in the meeting tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one whom God has appointed to mediate between God who is holy, and between man who is sinful and lost before Almighty God. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Christ himself says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Therefore, whenever a person comes unto God for salvation through Christ, that person, they realize that it is only the Lord Jesus Christ who can save them from their sin. And by faith alone, they ask the Lord Jesus, they trust the Lord Jesus to be their Savior and to deliver them from their sins. Indeed, that is how it was with the dying thief who was crucified beside our Lord. Outside this wall of Jerusalem and Mount Calvary, he was crucified beside the Lord, and he realized only the Lord could save him. And he cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He trusted Christ. He knew only Christ could save him. And so it was with the hymn writer Augustus Toplady, speaking of Christ. He said, Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Yes, the person who comes unto God through Christ for salvation, they realize that they cannot be saved from sin by their own works, by their own self-righteousness, or be anything of self or of man. Yes, such realize that they're lost in sin and bound for hell. And because of the awful guilt of their sin, they realize that they're under the sentence of God's wrath. Such, yes, have a burden, a desire to be delivered from the bondage and the burden of their sin. And with such a realization, they call in faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone to save them from their sin. That's the gospel. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And friend, in our meeting tonight, man, woman, young person, boy or girl, let me say this. This is what you must do. If you are to be saved from your sin and saved from the guilt of your sin and the ruin of your sin and the penalty of your sin and a lost eternity in hell itself, oh yes, realizing that you cannot be saved by anything of yourself or anything of man. Realizing that you cannot save yourself from hell and from the wrath to come. Realizing you cannot break free from the dominion and fetters of sin in your own life by faith alone. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him and ask him to save you from your sins. Indeed, that is how it was with the psalmist. He could speak of the Lord, and he could say, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him. Indeed, this is how it was with blind Bartimaeus outside the city of Jericho, sitting by the wayside, poor and helpless in and of himself. Christ was passing by, and he cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew there was nothing he himself could do for his soul's salvation. He cried out to the Lord to save him, to have mercy upon him. Friend, in the meeting tonight, this is what you must do if you're to be saved. This is how you come unto God through Christ. You come before God acknowledging your need as a poor, guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinner, poor and needy in and of yourself. You call out in faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. Yes, the people whom the Lord saves from sin. Not only do we see here the people whom the Lord saves from sin, but notice secondly here the power of the Lord to save from sin. Look again at what our verse says about Christ. It says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Notice that word, uttermost. It literally means forevermore. It means for forever and ever and ever. And in that one word there, we see there the power. We see, yes, the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ to save from sin. That phrase there, to the uttermost, it highlights the sufficiency of the Lord's salvation. Yes, it reveals to you and I that God's salvation is not just a salvation for time. It's a salvation for eternity. It is an eternal work. It is an eternal salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You turn back to Hebrews chapter number 5 and the verse number 7. Look at what you read there about Christ. It says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. In other words, all them that trust him, who call upon him for salvation. Christ, we're told there, is the author of an eternal salvation. And people, that word there, the uttermost, it tells us how the Lord's salvation is it's a complete work. It's a completed work. There's nothing left for man to do. There's nothing here for man, as it were, to put to God's salvation. Nothing here for man, as it were, to add to God's salvation. It's an eternal salvation. It's complete. It's altogether sufficient. And friend, I must say to you tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is one who is able to save you from the guilt of all your sins. Praise God. That's what he can do for you in salvation. He can pardon all your sins. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, all your sins can be forgiven, blotted out before the Almighty God. You think tonight of Saul of Tarsus. He had the blood of Stephen, the first Christian martyr in the New Testament, on his hands. But through trusting Christ as Savior, well, what did God do for Saul of Tarsus? He pardoned all his sins. All his sins were forgiven by Almighty God through faith in Christ as Savior. He could say, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He felt himself to be the chiefest of sinners. Yet he trusted Christ for salvation. And God pardoned, God blotted out all his sins. Friend, tonight in the meeting, the message of the gospel is this, that if you trust Christ as Savior, no matter who you are, no matter what your sin is or what your sin has been, God will pardon. He'll blot out all your sins. Your sins will be cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you anymore. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says there, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you concerned tonight about your sin and the need to have your sins forgiven? There's a remedy for that concern for you, and it's found in Christ. By trusting Christ, you can know your sins forgiven, blotted out, forevermore. Not only can the Lord pardon all your sins, praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ is one who is able to save you from the very power of sin, the chains of sin that bind your life, the chains of sin that control your life. He can break those fetters, those chains. And he can give you grace, grace that will enable you to repent of your sin, to turn away from your sin. He can give you grace that will change your life. He can give you grace that can enable you to live for the Lord day by day here on earth. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. God's grace, I tell you, in Christ is sufficient to break the fetters of sin that bind your life. The Bible speaks of the Lord and says he is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency may abound unto every good work. My, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The hymn writer says he breaks the power of counsel sin. He sets the prisoner free. There's freedom, the hymn writer says, and gladness and liberty found in Christ. Christ can set you free from the dominion of sin that rules and controls your life and reigns in your life. You can find perfect freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Billy Sunday was a young man who lived only for sport. He lived only for the sinful pleasures of this world. One Sunday afternoon in the city of Chicago in America, he was sitting in a pub, something that he often would have done. But that Sunday afternoon, there was a gospel open-air witness in the street outside the public house where he was. And he heard the gospel that day, and through that gospel message, God spoke to his heart. God dealt with his heart. He heard the good news that Christ is able to save to the uttermost. The result of that witness to his own heart and life and soul, Billy Sunday became a Christian. He trusted the Lord for salvation. And the Lord changed his life dramatically and powerfully. He became a great preacher of the gospel, an evangelist whom God singularly blessed and used. He was a man who was to take a great stand against the drinking of alcohol in his day and generation. But it was all because of what the Lord did in his life and did through his life by the amazing grace of God. That's what the Lord can do in salvation. He changes lives. The angel said to Joseph about Christ, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Yes, he pardons our sins, but he comes to deliver us from our sins. Praise God. Now, he could set you free from the dominion of sin, the reign of sin. He can give you power and grace to live for him, to live for his honor, to live for his glory. But then we can say further tonight that the Lord Jesus is able to save from the penalty of your sin and a lost eternity in hell. And he can take you to heaven. That's what Christ can do. He can take you from this world to heaven, to glory. You look at verse 19 there of Hebrews chapter number 7. It talks here about Christ bringing in a better hope. Verse 19 of Hebrews 7 says, "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in," it says, "of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God." And that better hope speaks of what Christ does in salvation. He gives a sinner a better hope, an eternal hope. He saves that soul from hell. He gives that soul a place in heaven and glory forevermore. Praise God, when you trust Christ as Savior, he gives to you in grace that better hope. That better hope of life everlasting, life immortal, eternal life, a home in heaven. He saves to the uttermost. And he'll save you from the lake of fire, from the wrath to come. He'll give you a home, a place in heaven, a mansion in glory, he says. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Oh, friend, this is the hope that Christ gives. This is the hope that he brings. The better hope of life everlasting. He can save you from the wrath to come. Save you and deliver you from the wrath of God that is upon you because of your sin. Turn with me in your Bible, please, back to 1 Thessalonians. Back a few chapters from our Bible reading tonight. 1 Thessalonians. And look with me, please, at chapter number 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And look at the very final verse of that chapter, verse number 10. Look at what Paul says to those who trusted Christ for salvation in verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead." And notice these words, "Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Notice what Christ does. He delivers from the wrath to come. Turn over just over in the page there to 1 Thessalonians and the chapter number 5, just over a little bit. And look at the verse number 9. Notice again the same great truth that's mentioned here. It says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." That speaks of being saved from the wrath to come. You're not saved tonight. The wrath of God abides upon you. That your sin condemns you to a lost eternity in hell itself. After this world, after this scene of time, your soul will be lost forevermore if you're not saved. But praise God through Christ, through the one who came down from heaven's glory, through Christ the Son of God, you can be saved from the wrath to come. The hymn writer says, life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. He is able to bring you to heaven. That's what Christ can do for you. The Bible tells us he is able, it says, to bring many sons to glory. He can bring you to glory, to heaven, to life evermore. If you trust him as your own and personal savior, see here the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why there's no one else like Christ. For only Christ can pardon our sins. Only Christ can break the chains and dominion of sin in our life. And only Christ can bring us to heaven. Only Christ can bring us to glory. That leads us just to one final thought here from our verse this evening, and it is simply this: the reason why the Lord can save from sin. Why can the Lord save from sin? Well, we're given the answer to that question at the end of our text there in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, where the apostle speaks of Christ. And he says, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And those words there at the end of that verse, they remind us of Christ's great high priestly work. And it's indeed on account of this that he is able to save from sin. He is able to save to the very uttermost. Because of his work as our great high priest. What did that work involve? Well, his high priestly work involved in earth, and involved him coming down from heaven's glory, coming into this earth as the sinless Son of God, and going to the cross of Calvary and dying upon that cross for sinners and shedding his blood as an atonement for sin. Look at verse number 27 there of Hebrews chapter 7. It says, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the others. For this he did once when he offered up himself. That speaks of the once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross for sinners. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 12 says, but this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Christ was taken, he was crucified, he was nailed to the Roman cross. As he hung upon that cross, what did he do? He consumed the fire of God's wrath for all of his people. And by that sacrifice, he made a way for sinners to be reconciled with God, to be saved from the penalty and the curse of their sin in hell itself. This is what he did. This is what he accomplished by his death upon the cross. Look at Hebrews chapter number 9 and the verse number 26. It says of Christ, but now once in the end of the world have he appeared to put away sin, it says, by the sacrifice of himself. Again, look at what it says back in Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse number 17. It speaks there of Christ again. It says, wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Christ suffered, he bled and died upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The Bible says Christ died for our sins, and he bore upon himself the wrath, the judgment of God that was our due, that we deserve for our sins. He bore it upon himself in his own body to the tree. The evidence that God the Father accepted Christ's sacrifice to be sufficient to redeem man from his sin is seen in the fact that Christ rose again from the dead the third day, never ever to die again. Look at what you read there in verse number 16 of Hebrews chapter number 7. It says, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but notice it, after the power of an endless life. This is what Christ did for us as our great high priest. He suffered, he bled and died, and he rose again victorious the third day. And then he ascended up into heaven. And in heaven he continually intercedes before God, pleading the merit of his blood, pleading the merit of his own perfect righteousness on the behalf of his people for their salvation. Turn over there to Hebrews chapter number 9. Look at what is said there in verse number 12 and verse number 24 of the chapter. Speaking here of Christ, our great high priest, verse 12 of Hebrews 9. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, it says, he entered in once into the holy place, that's into heaven itself, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear, it says, in the presence of God for us. You think of a lawyer in a courtroom scene, as it were, pleading for his client before the judge in a court of law. Well, in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ is one who is interceding continually before God on the behalf of his people, pleading for his people, presenting the merits of his blood, the merit of his own perfect righteousness on the behalf of his people, pleading his own finished work. You turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 17, and here you have record of Christ's great high priestly prayer. And look at what he prays in John chapter 17 before the Father in verse number 4. He says, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work. I have accomplished all that was needed for the redemption and the salvation of poor, lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners such as you and I, even in this meeting house tonight. And it's because of Christ, because of his death upon the cross, because of his glorious resurrection and his continual intercession at the Father's right hand, that he is indeed able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. You look again at what is said there in our text, Hebrews chapter number 7 and the verse number 24 and verse 25, it says of Christ, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, in other words, on account of what he has done for us as our high priest, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That is why Christ can save, because of what he did, what he accomplished, when he poured out his life unto death, even the death of the cross, and rose again, and is seated at the Father's right hand, and heaven's glory on high. Turn with me in your Bible over to Romans chapter number 8. Look at what you read there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32 to 34 of that great chapter. Here the apostle is speaking again of Christ and what he's done for his people, what we have in Christ. He says in verse 32 of Romans chapter 8, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And what is Paul saying? He says, because of Christ and no one else. He who died, he who is risen, he who is interceding at the right hand of the Father. It's because of him, our great high priest, that we can be saved from our sins and our lost, ruined condition as sinners before Almighty God. Mine is Christ, yes, our great high priest, I tell you, who does all the saving. And it is Christ, our great high priest, who does all the keeping, even unto life eternal, unto life evermore. Friend, in the meeting tonight, to experience and to partake of the riches of God's salvation that we find in Christ, you must come, yes, before God as a repentant sinner, acknowledging your need as a lost sinner before God. And by faith alone, you must come to trust in Christ and no one else, nothing else. Rest upon him alone for salvation. Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He'll save you from your sin. He'll pardon your sin. He'll bring you into the family and fold of God. And one day he'll take you home to heaven. He'll take you home to glory. The hymn writer says, venture on him, venture wholly. Now let no other trust intrude. None but Jesus, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Only Christ can do you good. Only Christ can save you. If you're not saved in the meeting tonight, whoever you are, whatever your background is, flee to Christ. Only Christ can save you from the wrath to come. Don't go away without him. Don't go away rejecting him as Savior. But embrace him and trust him tonight as your Savior and Lord, whom to know is life eternal. We'll close our meeting just with a word of prayer. I'll not be going to the door, but if there's one here that's concerned in your heart about your need of salvation, I urge you to come to the Lord tonight and seek him. If I can be of any help to you, I'll be no hurry away. No preacher can save you. But we'll be glad to open up the scriptures with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who is able, who is mighty, who is willing, who is ready to save. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us here this evening. Take thy word, take thy truth, Lord, that which has been of thee, and write it upon our hearts. Bless it to our souls. Apply it indelibly and effectually to our hearts and souls this night. We thank thee for each one in this gathering who has come to Christ, who has trusted Christ, who can rejoice in sins forgiven and the great hope of eternal life and glory forevermore. But Lord, for any in the meeting tonight and they do not have this better hope, Lord, give them no rest. Lord, disturb that sleep of death within their soul. And Lord, may they come tonight in faith and in repentance, and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Part us with your fear and favor. Take us to our homes and safety. Give us journeying mercies. And bless us throughout this week that lies before us. This we pray and this we ask, for Jesus' sake and glory.